I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. Welcome to Radio Times. Senator Dianne Feinstein has been a defender and supporter of the NSA's surveillance activities, the CIA's use of drones, and the powers given to the FBI under the Patriot Act. That's why many were surprised last week when she called out the CIA from the floor of the Senate. Feinstein chairs the Senate Intelligence Committee and accused the agency of interfering with her staffers who were putting together a report on a Bush administration detention and interrogation program. She accused the CIA of conducting unauthorized searches of computers that Senate staffers were using, charging that laws may have been broken. It's a complicated story, but it raises important questions about the balance of powers, about oversight, about intelligence, and that's why we asked Jonathan Lande to join us on Radio Times. He's national security and intelligence reporter for McClatchy Newspapers based in Washington, D.C. And Jonathan Lande, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me.
It's complicated outside the Beltway. Is it complicated inside the Beltway?
Somewhat, yes. I mean, because of all the issues that you've mentioned, there's a whole swath of them. And on top of that, on top of the dispute between the Senate overseers of the CIA and the CIA, the FBI is now involved. The Justice Department is involved because of allegations brought by the CIA's General Counsel's office that the Senate committee staff removed classified documents without authorization from a CIA facility and brought them up to Capitol Hill. So there's an investigation into that going on. And beyond that, on the other side of the ledger, you have the CIA Inspector General's office brought a criminal referral to the Justice Department about what seems to be questionable conduct on the part of CIA officials in terms of the alleged searching of the Senate committee staff's computers. And so it is pretty much a tangled mess. And then you have, of course, the White House is also involved.
Well, let's break it all down. What are the documents that are at the root of this dispute? There's something like 9,400 documents. What are we talking about here?
Well, there's a whole bunch of documents. So I think we need to go back to the very beginning, 2009, when the committee, the Senate Intelligence Committee, voted to conduct an in-depth study of what's known as the RDI program. That's the Rendition, Detention, and Interrogation Program that the CIA ran in secret during the Bush administration after 9/11, where suspected terrorists were detained in countries overseas, kidnapped effectively, or in the parlance used by the government, rendered to other countries, either to other countries for interrogation, or in many cases, brought to secret prisons run by the CIA in various parts of the world, where they were then subjected to interrogation and methods that some people believe constitute torture. Of course, the CIA and the Bush administration insisted when all of this came out that they were obeying the law and that there was no torture involved. But some of these methods, many people know of, for instance, waterboarding. Anyway, so the committee launched this investigation, this study. They were given access after a bunch of negotiations with the CIA to something in the range of 6.2 million pages of documents that they had to go through. It took them 4 years to go through all of this. And in the December of 2012, the committee narrowly approved the completion of essentially what was the final draft of this massive report. Now you have to fast forward to essentially November when the committee started getting the CIA got word from the committee about, we would like to know more about a document or a bunch of documents that the committee staff had apparently found in their side of what was a database created by the CIA for the documents that they gave to the committee. And these documents were separate from the report. These were referred to as an internal review by the CIA, or at least at the behest of the CIA, of all of the documents, the contents of the documents that were put into, that were given to the committee. The CIA kind of went a little off the wall over this because apparently the committee was not supposed to have a copy, copies of this internal review.
Wow.
And this internal review, as I said, it consisted of summaries of the contents of the documents that went to the committee. But what the committee staff found when they got a hold of their of the copies of this review were notes by the analysts who had reviewed the contents of this of the documents that were given to the committee for its study, that essentially, at least in Dianne Feinstein's telling, corroborated much of what of the key findings of the Senate committee's study. But what was also at issue here is the fact that the CIA, in its official response to the committee's study, disputed these key points. So you had two basically sets of documents from the CIA. One is their official response to the study, which said we disagree with parts of it. The second being this internal review by the CIA, where analysts actually corroborated, according to Dianne Feinstein, points in the study that officially the CIA disputed. So there are two different, you get two different versions coming from the CIA. When the CIA confronted the committee, this would have been John Brennan, the director of the CIA, in January of this year, over the fact that they had this study and they shouldn't have. He called it a massive security breach. He disclosed to Senator Feinstein that, in fact, the CIA had gone into the staff's side of the database, into what's supposed to be a walled off, what was supposed to be a walled off server that only the staff was supposed to be able to have access to, along with a few CIA information technologists, in other words, people to maintain the computers, their computers. They determined that the CIA had in fact been searching their computers without permission. So all of this kind of exploded after we revealed this giant mess that was going on behind closed doors the entire time. It was kept from the public. It was kept from most members of Congress. It was even kept from some members of the committee because it was so explosive. Because at its heart, what you've got here is yet another battle and an ongoing war between Congress and the executive branch, and a war that's been going on since the establishment of our republic, over the degree to which Congress can exercise oversight over the executive branch.
And let me go back to one of the things that you said, that there was there were sort of two different conclusions based on some of the findings. It sounds like what the Senate committee concluded was that these harsh interrogation techniques produce very little good intelligence. Do I have that right?
Yes, I mean, that's what we know publicly. That's what members of the committee have said. They've said that this review has established that the use of waterboarding and other harsh interrogation techniques produce very little intelligence of any value. And beyond that, they've also said, and this was a part of Senator Feinstein's address last week, that they determined that the CIA had in fact misled the Congress, the Bush White House, and the American public over how effective these techniques were.
But it sounds to me also, and as I said, this is complicated outside the Beltway, but it sounds like this Senate committee, they know what are in these documents. They have a report. It sounds like they are poised to make that more public.
Well, that's the decision we're waiting for now. One of the things that that this disclosure of this mess has created is more impetus for at least the release, the declassification, and the release of at least a 300-page executive summary of this massive 6,300-page report, 6,000-page study, pretty unbelievable in its volume. Something around that we've been told around a number of something around 30,000 footnotes. This thing cost about $40 million. And again, but still, there's some questions as to whether or not and how quickly this report, we're going to see any parts of this report, because now of the Justice Department's involvement.
Well, and what we're also, it seems like the current dispute is really about these computers that were set up for Senate staffers to go in, and whether the CIA was essentially spying on them as they were using these computers, or whether staffers, took documents they were not entitled to.
Well, yes. I mean, that's the nub of the dispute is and this needs to be explained as well. So when the CIA agreed to cooperate with the committee's study, usually what happens is documents that the congressional committees need for various investigations and studies are brought up to Capitol Hill. And in the case of the Senate Intelligence Committee, they actually have a high security space up in the Senate Hart Building, which is, meets all of the requirements for a classified space where highly classified top secret documents can stay. However, in this case, it was determined that because there was so such a vast volume of documents that the committee was looking to get access to, the CIA insisted that that the committee come across the Potomac River to a special facility that the CIA set up somewhere in Northern Virginia, where they established what's known as an electronic reading room for the committee. And what that comprised was, you would have, for instance, imagine a circle with a line drawn through the middle of it. On one side, you had contractors who were hired by the CIA to read each document three times to ensure that the document was pertinent to this investigation, and to ensure that other documents weren't being given to the committee that were not pertinent or that the CIA believed they shouldn't have. Once the review was done, then I talked about that line through the circle. That would be like a computer firewall. The CIA reviewers would then dump documents that they'd reviewed through the firewall into a database for use by the committee. Now, the committee also had its own separate segregated server that they could do their own work on. So, in other words, they would access documents, they would bring them into their little workspace, their workspace, and then they would work on the documents there, review them, perhaps write and start drafting their report in their segregated part of this electronic reading room. The problem was, at least according to Dianne Feinstein, was that under the agreement that they had with the CIA, only CIA IT specialists could have access to the committee's part of the committee's server, and they're not allowed to tell anybody else from the CIA what there was on that server, what the committee staff was doing. And Dianne Feinstein insists that in fact the CIA violated that agreement on not just once, not just twice, but perhaps as many as three times.
And that's Jonathan Lande. We're going to take a very short break. Get back to our conversation. Stay with us.
Haddonfield Friends School supports WHYY. The Fisher-Roseman family from Collingswood, the DeFlamery family from Philadelphia, the Salam family from Marlton, and families from over 30 towns have chosen Haddonfield Friends School for their children's education. An open house will be held Thursday, March 20th from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. and 7 to 8:30 p.m. Details and more information about Haddonfield Friends School and the open house online at haddonfieldfriends.org.
Steve, let me ask you something. When you're hosting NPR's Morning Edition, how do you keep all those news stories straight in your head?
By listening. I don't pretend to know all the answers. My job is to know who to ask and how to ask them. At NPR's Morning Program, our job is to push for real stories, honest answers.
And you can listen with us on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Weekday mornings on WHYY.
I'm Robin Young, next time on Here and Now.
This is Piers Morgan Live, breaking news tonight. A Malaysia Airlines plane carrying 239 people bound for Beijing is missing.
The disappearance of Malaysian Flight 370 has captured the world's attention. What is the inescapable pull? That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. Last week, Senator Dianne Feinstein accused the CIA of hampering her committee's investigation of a Bush administration rendition detention and interrogation program. She accused the agency of breaking the law and of constitutional violations. Let's listen to some of what she had to say.
I have grave concerns that the CIA's search may well have violated the separation of powers principles embodied in the United States Constitution, including the speech and debate clause. It may have undermined the constitutional framework essential to effective congressional oversight of intelligence activities or any other government function.
Jonathan Lande, our guest in this hour of Radio Times, national security and intelligence reporter for McClatchy Newspapers based in Washington, D.C. Any questions or comments, give us a call. That phone number is 1-888-477-9499. You can also send us an email at radiotimes@whyy.org and send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. And Jonathan, as I said in the intro, and other people have said as well, you know, Dianne Feinstein has been a supporter of many of these programs, and the fact that she went to the floor last week and spoke out against the CIA, is that a turning point, a significant act on her part?
I think it's a very significant act, but it's because it became personal. This dispute became personal in that the CIA, through their general counsel, sent what's known as a crime report to the Justice Department on her staff, alleging that her staff, and asking for a criminal investigation into allegations that her staff, without authorization, printed out classified documents at this facility I was talking about, right, and took them up to Capitol Hill. Now, as I said, that's become personal. I also think she's very, very frustrated with the fact that this massive study that's taken place under her chairmanship of the committee is still not out. But I don't think it's going to weaken her defense of the NSA and its collections of its bulk collections of Americans' communications data, or the intelligence community as a whole. I think it's specifically about this report, and as I said, it's personal because they've gone after her staff.
Well, and as you described it, this is a 5-year, $40 million investigation. There are all these firewalls, there are computers with, you know, one set of people on one side of the wall, one set of people on the other side of the wall. Why so much security on this particular investigation?
Well, the documents that were being given to the committee are extremely classified. It deals with a top secret program that the Americans had no idea was going on until revelations in the press disclosed the fact that their government, through the CIA, the Bush administration, had authorized effectively the kidnapping of suspected terrorists, and that they were being taken by the CIA to what were known as black sites, detention centers, in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, and where they were being subjected to interrogation methods that, as I said, many experts, many former American officials and military officers, and even members of Congress have described, and other governments, allied governments, have described as torture. And so these documents were very, very classified, and there's so many of them, it was such a vast amount that they had to set up this special facility in which the staff were able to conduct their investigation.
But as you described, I mean, you know, if we've been paying attention, we know about, at least broadly speaking, about these rendition programs. Is the classified information just sort of the granular detail of what these interrogations involved?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's stuff in this report that we don't, that has never been disclosed. There are details that have never been disclosed. There are hints out in the public record. If you look for them, you can find them about things that really have never been really brought to the public's attention. For instance, you know, the Bush administration, the CIA insist that they had gotten the permission, or at least the clearance, the legal clearance from the Justice Department for the methods that they were using, for these interrogation methods that they were using on detainees. But if you really pay attention, you'll see that there are hints in the public record that, in fact, they were using methods or interrogation methods on detainees that they had never cleared with the Justice Department, that were never cleared before they went to the Justice Department. And going to the Justice Department for legal clearance on these methods was sort of like a reaction to, it was almost like, what we're doing, is it legal? We better go get the Justice Department to sign off on this. And so there are aspects of this that have never been disclosed. But beyond that, just to refer to the popular culture,
sure.
The film Zero Dark Thirty, the film about the capture or the discovery of the hiding place in Pakistan of Osama bin Laden and the raid by Navy SEALs in 2011, in which he was killed. If you watch that film and you're not paying attention to what's been disclosed about the RDI program, you come out, a lot of people would come out of the theater with the impression that that the use of these techniques had produced the intelligence that led the CIA to identify Osama bin Laden's hideout, when in fact we know that the report finds that the committee study finds that that's not true at all. And in fact, when the film came out, Dianne Feinstein, John McCain, and there was one other senator whose name escapes me for the time being, wrote to the producers of the film saying, excuse us, but your film is misleading. The RDI program did not produce intelligence that led to the identification of Osama bin Laden's hideout, because we've done a study, and our study shows that it's not true.
But do you think, and this is, I guess, speculation, but sort of within these documents that have not been released, these highly classified documents, there could be allegations that crimes were committed?
Well, we have to wait and see. You know that there was an effort at the very beginning of the Obama administration, the first term. There was a special prosecutor who was named to investigate the destruction of videotapes that the CIA had made of, in particular, the interrogation of one of the Al-Qaeda members who was waterboarded. Those tapes were eventually destroyed against the orders of the White House, against the orders of senior CIA officials, and the Justice Department, I believe the Justice Department also. And so there was an investigation launched into that, into the destruction of the tapes, and that was expanded to examine two cases in which detainees died in CIA custody at two of these black sites, and the investigations ended with no charges being brought. Well, you know, basically ended with nothing happening, and yet there's still a lot of unanswered questions about those cases as well as others.
Well, we're talking with Jonathan Lande in this hour of Radio Times national security and intelligence reporter from McClatchy Newspapers about what Dianne Feinstein did last week on the floor of the Senate, accusing the CIA of hampering her committee's investigation of a Bush administration rendition detention and interrogation program. It's a program that has been under investigation for a couple of years now, and Jonathan Lande has been reporting on this story along with some of his other colleagues. colleagues at McClatchy. We're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Do you care about this issue at all? You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. Jonathan, from your reporting, you say really the White House, the Obama White House, has been withholding documents, or it sounds like either ignoring or even rejecting record requests. And yet one of the very first things that President Obama did on his, second day in office was he ended this this program. Help us understand or even reconcile how you see what the Obama administration says and what it has been doing.
So there are some questions regarding what documents. We know that, for instance, and we disclosed this last week, that the Obama administration has been sitting on something around about 9,600 pages of documents that the Senate committee has been asking for since 2009, and that the Obama administration, the White House, has refused to turn over. Now, the fact is that when questioned about this after our story ran, the White House spokesman Jay Carney cited what he said was the need to preserve, I believe it was something along the executive branch confidentiality. Mm-hmm. Now, that is a legal doctrine that people I've talked to have no idea about. They've never heard that. And what you usually, what the White House usually does in these cases when Congress wants something and they don't want to give it up, is what is exercise what's known as executive privilege, where this is the use of a Supreme Court recognized doctrine whereby the White House can maintain without giving to Congress, can keep secret documents involving advice given by senior officials to the president and perhaps among each other as well. Mm. Now, they haven't exercised executive privilege over these particular documents, perhaps because usually the White House waits until a Senate committee either publicly threatens or actually approves subpoenas, and it's at that point that the White House will declare executive privilege. That has not happened in this case. The sense we're getting is that there have been negotiations over these documents between the White House and the Senate committee, and they seem to be continuing in an effort to try and resolve this clash between the executive branch and the Congress.
Congress, though, has the responsibility for oversight of, and that's part of what Dianne Feinstein is talking about. But how can you have oversight if you can't have access to documents?
Well, I mean, that's a good question, and that's one of the reasons why the Senate committee believes, or parts of at least the majority Democrats believe, that their staff didn't violate anything in removing these classified documents, this so-called internal Panetta review of the documents that went into their study, the review that contradicts, in some cases we understand, the CIA's official response to the Senate committee's report, and that they were perfectly were on total legal and constitutional grounds in removing these documents and reading these documents, having access to these documents, because of what you precisely what you say, which is the congressional power of oversight.
Well, and CIA Director John Brennan said, I guess in response to what Dianne Feinstein said, he said, when the facts come out on this, I think a lot of people who are claiming that there has been tremendous sort of spying and monitoring and hacking will be proved wrong. And I mean, this is what you do, Jonathan Landay, which is try to figure out what's at the root of this particular kind of dispute. Who resolves this? Is it the Justice Department?
Well, in this case, that's what's happening, because there is a criminal referral, what's called a crimes report, sent by the CIA's Office of General Counsel to the Justice Department, saying we think a crime has been committed by the staff, majority staff, the Democratic staff of the Senate committee, by unauthorized removal of these documents from the top secret facility, and as a result, there's now an FBI investigation. We'll have to wait and see. But then there's also this other case where the CIA Inspector General's office has sent a criminal referral to the Justice Department saying that they believe that there has been malfeasance on the part of CIA officials, and that appears to be connected to what Dianne Feinstein says was this unauthorized, perhaps illegal searches, not just one, but searches of the committee's computers that were not supposed to be searched, that were supposed to be completely segregated from the CIA perusal.
John Stewart, but also others have raised the sort of hypocrisy question with Senator Dianne Feinstein, saying that she's fine with, you know, her or she seems to be fine with the government, you know, snooping around our email data. But once it involves her staffers, then she is up in arms. And I'd just be curious about what you think about that, Jonathan Landig.
Well, I mean, she's in a pretty humiliating position. I mean, embarrassing position, because that's quite right. She has been a major defender of the legality of the NSA's bulk collection of the telephone data or I should say the communications data of virtually every American who owns a cell phone and goes on the internet. And yet here you have a case where and she's been I believe it was her who among some lawmakers who have accused Snowden, the former NSA contractor who leaked, thousands, it looks like, or took without authorization thousands of classified documents and been leaking them to news organizations. I mean, she's essentially accused him of being a traitor. And yet here you have a case where her own staff, at least in the eyes of the CIA, without authorization, removed highly classified documents from a very high security facility and took them out and walked them up to Capitol Hill. Now, she says, in defense of that, that there are prescribed protocols, there are established protocols for moving classified documents from various agencies to this secure facility that her staff, that her committee has on Capitol Hill, and that her staff abided by those protocols. Mm-hmm. And that she also points out that in many, many cases, her staff or other committees, that it's a regular thing for these committees to get these classified documents and have them brought up to Capitol Hill, where they're put in safes and read only by people, only by staff members who have the proper level of clearance. And that she insists that there was no violation at all of any law, and in fact, we're not. It's hard to discern at this point what law the CIA General Counsel's Office believes was broken by the removal of these documents by the Senate staff. That's not been articulated.
About a minute before our second break here, but is this, do you think, just going to devolve into sort of a lot of finger-pointing and investigations, and the release of these documents will be delayed another 3, 4, 5 years?
Well, there are some people who believe that and I think Senator Feinstein, as much as said this herself, that this crime report that was sent to the Justice Department by the CIA General Counsel's Office was in fact intended to it was nothing more than an attempt to delay and obstruct the release of this of her report. And she points out that she doesn't name him, but we know who he is. That a gentleman, a lawyer at the CIA, who was the acting general counsel who referred this, who sent this crime report to the Justice Department, was the very same lawyer who was the chief legal advisor to the interrogation program. And that would be a serious conflict of interest on the part of that particular lawyer.
Well, let's take another short break. We'll get back to our conversation talking with Jonathan Landig, national security and intelligence reporter for McClatchy Newspapers based in Washington, D.C. Much more after this very short break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Philadelphia Orchestra supports WHYY. Legendary conductor Herbert Blumstedt returns to the Kimmel Center to lead the Philadelphia Orchestra in Brahms' First Symphony and Mozart's exquisite Grand Partita for Winds. Tickets at 215-893-1999 or online at philorc.org. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Kimmel Center. Blumstedt conducts Brahms First with the Philadelphia Orchestra.
This is Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. If you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes on our show, here's your chance to find out. On a special Fresh Air broadcast, Friday, March 28th, our producers and I will answer your questions about how we put the show together. To submit your questions, go to the website whyy.org/askfreshair. That's whyy.org/askfreshair. So tell us what you want to know, then tune in March 28th.
Neither a borrower nor a lender be.
I came to school not understanding the loans that I was taking on, and I'm realizing more and more how much debt I'm going to be in once I graduate college.
College delivers tough lessons about debt that millions of students learn too late. The high price of college's hard knocks. Next time on The Takeaway from PRI Public Radio International.
Today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowen talking with Jonathan Lande about what Senator Dianne Feinstein did last week. She's chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, and she accused the CIA of interfering with her staffers. They were putting together a report on a Bush administration rendition detention and interrogation program, and that has led to a series of charges and countercharges. And Jonathan Lande walking us through all of that. We're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. We want to know what you think. And of course, you can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. Jonathan, you mentioned the fact that this is very personal. It sounds like it's very personal between Dianne Feinstein and this general counsel of the CIA. I guess we should name him. His name is Robert Ettinger.
Well, she didn't use the name, but that's who we believe she was referring to. Absolutely. And in fact, she said this is something that she is not going to allow to go away, that she is going to pursue this particular aspect of this controversy, because as she pointed out in her speech, the particular lawyer who she was referring to is named more than 1,600 times in their study.
Wow.
And then he's the guy who sends the crimes report about her staff to the Department of Justice. And she says that in the study, she says the man that we believe is Robert Ettinger himself provided misleading information about the interrogation program to the Department of Justice when he was the chief lawyer.
Now, the CIA director, as I mentioned, John Brennan, said, you know, that they will be vindicated when all this come out. And he says, we are not trying to thwart release. But when you know, again, we're talking about an investigation that has gone on for years now. Do you think he's on thin ice when he says that?
We'll have to wait and see, but yeah, I mean, the fact is that there have been delaying tactics by the CIA. They were supposed to provide their response to this report within 3 months of the release of the report, the approval of the report by the Senate committee, and they took six. Now you have all of this legal back and forth, and what we also now found out from Senator Feinstein in her speech last week is that the CIA had breached this staff's part of this database, that their segregated part of the database, the first time twice in 2009, removing the staff's access to approximately 900 pages of documents, and then claiming that, well, these are covered by executive. We believe these may be covered by executive privilege, and sending them over to the White House.
Mm.
The staff, after they found out, after they realized that their access to documents that they had previously had access to had been turned off by the CIA, and they couldn't get the documents anymore, reported this to Senator Feinstein, and the committee went to the White House. There were talks with the White House, and according to Senator Feinstein, the matter was resolved. The White House apologized. and the CIA promised they would never do this again. Mm-hmm. But then she says, a short time after that, or at some point after that, the CIA again went into her staff's segregated computer and removed their access to this so-called internal Panetta review, as well as other documents which we have no idea of, which we have no idea of the nature of. And so you had those three instances, according to her, where the CIA has went into their computers, removed documents, and then you have the criminal charge, the criminal referral by intelligence agencies, top lawyer, top legal staff to the Justice Department. So yes, there are indications here of foot dragging by the CIA.
Do we know if the Obama White House is pulling the strings here, or do we not know that?
Well, it's hard to say, because let's not forget that before he went over to the CIA last year, John Brennan was the Obama administration's top, basically, intelligence official within the White House. He was on the National Security Council. He was the president's chief advisor on counterterrorism. And before that, he was an advisor to then-candidate Barack Obama when he was running for president. And it was during the period when Mr. Brennan was in the White House that you've had the first instance, according to Senator Feinstein, of the CIA going into the staff's database, removing documents, then the committee going to the White House and having this dispute. Mm-hmm. So was Mr. Brennan involved? I suspect he had to have been, because prior to going to work for the Obama campaign, or at least before going to work for the Obama campaign, he had actually left the agency. But before that, let's not forget, he was a veteran agency officer. He was a senior officer up on what's known as the seventh floor, the executive floor of the CIA. I believe he was something like deputy executive director during the time when these harsh interrogation, this RDI program was underway. There have been questions about how much he knew about this program. And he insisted during his nomination hearing or confirmation hearings that he wasn't involved, and that at times he had actually, when he heard about this, would confront senior officials at the other, you know, some of his colleagues about what was going on. And I believe I recall him saying something along the lines that he was denied a promotion because of his opposition to this program.
Hmm.
But all along, you know, John Brennan trail has, you know, there's been a parallel track between where he's been and this whole, you know, the course that this study, the CIA study, has taken.
Let me get to our callers at 1-888-477-9499. We have Cindy from Wilmington, Delaware, joining us on Radio Times. Hi, Cindy. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Marty. I love your show. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
I want to just say a big picture comment, which is that the Bush administration, in my opinion, did so much damage to our country by first invading Iraq, then adopting these, whether you call them harsh interrogation or torture techniques, it's all the same. To me, we've put ourselves in this company of nations that do not respect basic human rights, and in the company of nations that do not respect the rule of law. And it has really dragged us down into the mud. And I applaud your guest for being one of the many people who are, you know, digging and trying to find the truth and trying to eliminate all the monkey shines that are going on, in my opinion, just to prevent American people from focusing on this and from knowing the truth. I really think as citizens, we have to decide what kind of government are we willing to have, what kind of government is going to further our interests, and what are we willing to put up with, you know, at the voting booth. So thank you so much for bringing light to this issue, and I'll just hang up the phone and turn my radio back on.
Okay. Thanks, Cindy, for the call to Radio Times. Jonathan Lande, what's your response?
Well, I think what your caller's comments reflect is the fact that there has not been a full airing of everything that went on during the Bush administration in terms of its response to 9/11. There have been a lot of disclosures. The Senate Armed Services Committee has done some amazing investigative work and reports on the abuse of detainees held at Guantanamo and mistreatment of detainees by sort of on the military side of things. But there's not been an airing, a complete airing, of what happened with this secret program, this RDI program. And it seems to me that until there is a complete complete revelations of everything that went on. I mean, we know, for instance, that some of these renditions were people who were kidnapped, essentially kidnapped by the CIA and taken to interrogation centers were totally innocent. There was mistaken identities where people. There's a one case where I believe he was a German was dragged off a bus in Macedonia, held by the Macedonians at the CIA's request for several weeks, then put on a flight, flown to Afghanistan, and incarcerated in a secret detention center there. By his telling, tortured, and then when it was realized that he was the wrong person, put on a plane and dropped off in rural Albania. And there's been no accountability. He's not been allowed. He's been blocked from being able to sue the American government for this. And so there's those kinds of things that happened. And until there's a full accounting, I don't believe that you will continue to have attitudes like and anger of the kind we just heard from your caller. And this is the kind of thing that needs to be aired, because you don't get reforms until there's an airing of this kind of thing.
Cindy, thanks for the call to Radio Times. You can call as well, 1-888-477-9499. Could, though, Senator Feinstein, could she sort of release what she has, and at least that begins the airing of some of this information, or does she have to wait?
No, I think that they're moving in that direction. I mean, in fact, the fact is that the committee, I believe, does have the power, as she is the committee woman, and the committee does have the power to do their own declassification, and then I think they have to get a majority vote by the Senate to release this study. I don't think she's going that route. It looks like what they're going to do, perhaps in a couple of weeks, is approve the final version of this report, send it to the White House for what's called the classification review, rather than the CIA, because they're afraid, I believe, that the CIA will again drag its feet on this classification review. And it's quite a hefty. I mean, you're talking about 6,300 pages, so they would probably do that right away for this 300-page executive summary and the conclusions, and that will likely go through this declassification review very quickly and then be released to the public. But then, you know, when you look at some of these in the past, when you with the 9/11 Commission report and the Senate Armed Services Committee reports on that they've done on the use of bogus intelligence by the CIA by the Bush administration to justify the invasion of Iraq, a lot of the really interesting stuff is in the footnotes. You know, the footnotes are what investigative reporters like me are really interested in, because then you find out some real nuggets, and I don't think we're going to get that. I don't think we're going to see the release of the main 6,300-page report.
I'm old enough to remember the Watergate hearings and Iran-Contra. I mean, can you imagine, Jonathan Landay, something like that happening in the U.S. Congress, where it's not a commission with a report, but there are actual hearings on this program, or what happened under the Bush administration?
Well, let's go back to the 1970s, when you had, before the establishment of congressional committees to oversee the intelligence community, because there weren't any until the establishment in the 1976, when the Senate and House Intelligence Committees were established as a result of what was known as the Church Committee. And
that's
this
right.
Was the late Senator Frank Church convened a special committee of Congress to examine the series of of domestic spying scandals by the intelligence community, the reading of Americans' telegrams by the National Security Agency. And there's been calls by, just the other day, there was a public letter that was released by, that was signed by some former members and staff of the Church Committee calling for the establishment of a new type of, a new Church Committee to look at kind of the these allegations that the NSA has been spying on Americans, this kind of thing. I don't see that happening, not with this Congress, but perhaps there needs to be some kind of, I don't know, Truth and Reconciliation Commission, some kind of establishment of some kind of mechanism whereby perhaps people who were involved in this, in the RDI program, in other aspects of the counterterrorism campaign by the former Bush administration, are given immunity from prosecution in return for disclosing exactly what happened during these programs. I don't know, but certainly I don't see a groundswell on Capitol Hill behind this. But now you could see something like that developing once and if the Senate Intelligence Committee's study of the RDI program is declassified and released.
We're almost out of time here, but it also appears as if the Obama White House is kind of reluctant to look back over the Bush years and to, I guess, litigate or even talk about what happened under that administration.
Indeed. I mean, that's what we keep hearing President Obama say, that we need to look forward, we don't need to look back. But then again, I would refer to the comments by your caller, and I've been on other talk shows where, you know, Americans, they still don't know all of the details. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of conspiracy theories about what happened, and they really, the only way you can address that is by having a public airing of what happened.
We're almost out of time here, and this is no crack on you, Jonathan Landay. We did not get a lot of callers during this hour, which tells me or makes me wonder whether the American public is still interested in this issue. I am. You clearly are, but perhaps we're in a minority here.
It may very well be that Americans are just, we know they're fed up with Washington.
Sure.
And perhaps they just see this as yet another mess in Washington.
Well, as always, Jonathan Landay, I thank you so much for joining us on Radio Times, and I thank you for the reporting that you have been doing these many years on things like national security and intelligence reporting.
My pleasure.
And again, Jonathan Landay from McClatchy Newspapers. Well, send us an email or go on Facebook, and you can tell me I'm wrong, that you actually do care about this stuff. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times to find out much more about this program. You can continue the conversation on our homepage. You can check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and you can also podcast our interviews as well. I'm Marty Moscoen. Thank you so much for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times, and do stay with us. We'll be right back.